About 18 years ago, I was 23, was a new dad, 2 months. Jake was 2 months old, and the state of Illinois started initiatives before they were broke. They started an initiative in the school system because there was something that was happening across the state of Illinois that they found was concerning. And what was happening was truancy was at an all-time high. People didn't have health insurance. People weren't taking their kids to the doctor. And the state of Illinois saw this, and they saw, we have an issue with kids skipping school, being out sick, and staying out for a couple weeks. And they saw it as an issue. And so they hired men and women all across the state of Illinois, put money in the state and in school districts for a truancy program. So I was hired as youth pastor at the time. Every single day from 8 to noon, I went to the school district, and I became a truancy officer. Now, a lot of you don't know this about me. Before I went to Bible college, I was getting a degree in law enforcement because I wanted to be in law enforcement. I know it shocks some of you. Most of the shows that I watch has got something to do with law enforcement. That's just what I love. It's just one of the things. I don't like donuts, though. So, anyway, some of you are like, anyway. But something about this program, every single day you'd go to people's house and you'd say, is so-and-so here? Because they're truant, meaning mom forgot to call in, meaning they're skipping school, mom doesn't even know about it. And every single day, this was the routine, except on Fridays. Fridays, I got to get in a police car, I got to dress up like a cop. And every Friday, we, along with the police department, would go to the parents' place of employment or the parents' house, and we would go to their house and we would arrest the parents. And it was people that had obviously skipped 20, 25 days, and we would go to the homes and we would arrest them, some to their places of employment, which I have some great stories over that 2 years. Could you imagine walking in? Sir, you're under arrest. Matt, you are under arrest because Zach is truant. They would be arrested on the spot, handcuffed in their place of employment, taken downtown, booked, and a $500 fine. Because here's what they came to the understanding. We can't get through your kid's head, but if we can get through your head, maybe now you're going to pay more attention to why your kid is being truant. They decided those 2 years that this program, before the state ran out of money, but for 2 years, this program, truancy went down to an all-time low. Interaction with the school district was unbelievable. Parents now were working together with the school district. But here's what changed for me. On that Friday, when I walked into places of employment, when I walked onto the school campus, just based on what I was wearing, changed the way I was treated. I found it so interesting that because I was with someone in law enforcement, they didn't give me a gun, only gave me a taser, and I never used it. I was usually the guy handcuffing someone, so I had handcuffs. But because I was with someone in law enforcement, in a law enforcement vehicle, people looked at me differently because what you wear matters. And here's what I mean by this. Go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, Paul's writing the church. He's writing the church. Every morning, they do that. Paul is writing men and women just like you who are on a Sunday morning. They desire to have a relationship with Christ. They don't have it all together. They're not perfect. They have crazy backgrounds. They're divorced. They have crazy kids. They got a mess going on in their lives, and this is who Paul's talking to. Again, he's not talking to the pretty. He's not talking to the perfect. He's talking to men and women who want, who desire, who want to follow Jesus. Okay? Before you think you walk in and say, I got to get my stuff together so I can go to church. No. Come as you are. Come as you are. You don't have to get it all together. Jesus didn't look at the disciples to say, if you go through this 12-week program, then you come back and follow me. He didn't say that. I don't know why the church thinks they have to say that. He didn't say that. Okay? He looked at them and said, you're a tax collector, you're a fisherman, come follow me. And they followed him. Why? Because there was a desire for something more. And so that's how Jesus looks at us today. You don't got all your stuff together, but you're here. Okay? I in youth ministry, I didn't care why they came. I just was glad I had them for an hour. Right? You're here. Okay? You're here. That means we got an opportunity here to open the Bible and to talk through what Paul is talking about in this moment. And here's what he says in Colossians 3:8. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds, but put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. Paul's saying, first and foremost, you got to get rid of some things before you can put something else on. Okay? He continues in verse 12. Since God chose you to be the holy people He loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, with kindness, with humility, with gentleness, with patience, make allowance for each other's faults, forgive anyone who offends you. Remember the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all wisdom He gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative. First and foremost, wear clothes. Secondly, let peace rule your hearts. And third, be thankful. Check out this quick clip.
Where's my underwear?
Whoa, 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 whoa. Come on, what? You took his underwear?
He took my essence.
Okay, hold on. Joey, why can't you just wear the underwear you're wearing now?
Because I'm not wearing any underwear now.
Okay, then why do you have to wear underwear tonight?
It's a rented tux, okay? I'm not going to go commando in another man's fatigue.
Well, then it looks like somebody's going to have to give somebody back his cushions.
Okay. You hide my clothes, I'm going to do the exact opposite to you.
What are you going to show me my clothes?
Hey, opposite is opposite.
He's got nothing!
Okay, buddy boy, here it is. You hide my clothes, I'm wearing everything you own.
Oh my God! That is so not the opposite of taking somebody's underwear!
Look at me, I'm Chandler. Could I be wearing any more clothes? Maybe if I wasn't going commando. I'll tell you, it's hot with all this stuff on. I better not do any, I don't know, lunges.
Okay, enough with the lunging. No, I'm sick of this, okay? I've had up to here with you two. Neither of you can come to the party.
Jeez, what a baby.
Give me a sec. Paul wants us to adopt attitudes that flow out of our relationship with Christ. See, so much of what happens to us and in us flows out of us. You've been hurt in this room? I have no doubt in my mind what is flowing out of you is that hurt. So Paul is asking us to put on new attitudes, and we have to be intentional. As a son or daughter of Christ, my identity should come out of my identity in Christ. And so much of that is what happens. The relationships that you have, how you respond in those relationships, it's flowing out of how you perceive yourself. Not how you perceive others, how you perceive yourself. So when you perceive yourself as a daughter of the King, now all of a sudden you respond totally different. So when Paul says, put on these attitudes and get rid of these attitudes, now when you're getting rid of rage and you're having compassion, totally different. And we understand this, that we're going to be different when we put on these clothes. But do we understand that the people around us are going to be different when we put on these clothes? That's what we have to see. So Paul is literally saying, you have to take off something and you have to put on something. So you have to wear clothes. And this putting on is very intentional, that every single day I have to decide before I go to work that, God, I want to be compassionate. God, I need to be humble. God, I need to be gentle. God, I need to be patient. And he's commanding us to have these five attitudes. He's saying compassion is a love for the unlovely. He's saying, I'm not asking you to be compassionate towards people who are nice, who are gentle with you, who are lovely to you. He's saying, I'm asking you to be compassionate with the people that are unlovely to you. So take the coworker that nobody likes and says, now I need you to go be compassionate to that person. Find the kid at school that nobody wants to be around and sits by himself at lunch. That's compassion. It's not compassion when there's a table full of people and they say, hey, won't you come sit with us? You're not being compassionate. You're joining in. He's saying being compassionate is being intentional to show compassion to someone else that is an outcast. That's compassion. He's saying put that on. And if you don't put that on before you get in a situation, don't think because the situation happens, now that's what's going to flow out of you. God, I'm so mad at my life. God, I'm so mad at what they did. Now they're treating you bad. You think you're going to be compassionate? You're not going to be compassionate. You're not going to show them compassion. You're now smarting off to them. You're now responding to them with a negative word. Is that compassion? No, it's rage because that's what you put on that day. Kindness is living in a way that benefits others, having grace that oozes out of you. That's the definition of kindness. Kindness is you don't even have to say a word and people go, wow, I want what they have. You know what has to happen for that to happen? You got to smile more. Well, this is just my face. I got one of those faces. Well, smile, and that face will look different. You've been around people that's like, man, that is a weird, awkward smile. You're like, hmm. Like, are they constipated or are they happy? I can't really tell. Maybe both, and maybe that's why they're smiling. Humility, he's saying, in a culture where self-love is so thriving, humility is selflessness and modesty. To live in a humble way means I'm serving you. And again, it's not serving people around you that are awesome. It's serving people around you that are difficult. And again, we've often said, God, why? Stop asking why and start doing it. You know why. You know why you're there. Stop asking why. Gentleness is willing to suffer injury rather than inflict it on others. Willing to suffer rather to inflict. And patience is not getting angry. It's an ability to wait without getting worked up internally. Oh, Jesus, why? Why patience? Why? And you all can put yourself in that spot of what is easier and what is more difficult. Yeah? Some of it is harder to put on. Some of it is way difficult. And he says, the outcome of these attitudes will be that you will bear with one another and you will forgive each other. He says, that's the outcome. The outcome is we will be able to be a community. We will be able to be around one another and we'll be able to understand that you have faults and we'll look past those faults. When the outcome of choosing compassion, the outcome of choosing humility, doesn't mean we have to all agree. That's not unity, you guys. This is not avoiding conflict. This is understanding that we can have reconciliation in the middle of craziness. You and I, usually, it's not about right or wrong. It's about preference. It's about what you prefer over another and what you make more of a priority. And it's not that you're right and I'm wrong. It's that we just differ, and it's okay. It's okay to differ. It's okay that you don't like blue chairs. It's okay. Because when you tell me you don't like blue chairs, I'm going to say, great, buy us new ones. And they can be whatever color you want. Really? Is that all it takes? That's all it takes. I get to pick them out. You get to pay for them. See, the problem is you and I live in a culture where we complain about a lot, but we're not solution people. And we tell our team all the time, listen, I don't mind that you say something. I can point out 10 things of things that are wrong. I'm okay with you pointing them out, but you better have 4 to 5 solutions with what you're pointing out. Yeah? This is okay that we live differently. And Paul ends with, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you forgive others. I love that he added that in there. He says, if you can't get past what they've done, then what are you saying is greater that the Lord can't get past with what you have done? See, you and I expect God to forgive us. And all God says, I will forgive you. Just use the same measure of forgiveness that was given to you to use towards others. So he's not just saying forgive people. He's saying, remember what you've been forgiven of. Remember how you used to be. And so now compassion is because you know how bad you were in your heart. So it's easy to be compassionate because I know how bad I used to be before I was forgiven. Humility isn't bad because you understand that it's easy to be humble because not by your own doing. You haven't saved yourself, and so you understand because you haven't saved yourself. It's easy to be humble because of what Christ has done in you. It's easy to understand to be kind to one another because it says in the Bible that God is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. And you and I were ungrateful and wicked, and yet he was still kind to us. And so now we can't be kind to people just because they're kind to us. So I forgive like Jesus and I'm kind like Jesus. That means when someone is ungrateful around you, you're still kind to them. Because you being a tool to them doesn't make any sense. Well, they're a jerk to me, so I was a jerk back to them. Awesome. Good job. You became what you despised in them. But when you've been kind to them when they're a jerk to you, how do you respond? Man, that person is so compassionate. I don't like being around them. They're so compassionate. That guy is so nice. Man, I almost hate being around him. He's so nice. That guy is the most humble guy I've ever met. Like, he doesn't ever take the attention. He never takes the credit. He's so humble. What a jerk. Man, that guy is the most patient guy I've ever been around. Man, you'd think someone would work him up. He never gets worked up. What a patient guy. Yeah, I'm sure they don't want to hang around you. Come on. And he's saying, be kind, be compassionate to the people that may never be kind and compassionate to you. I'll take it a step further. Be forgiving to the people that never say sorry. Stop waiting for someone to say sorry before you forgive them, like you're holding on to something. It's like I'm coming to Jesus, but Jesus, I'm going to hold on to this part. You're not following Jesus then. You're following Jesus part-time. And then he says, above all. Anytime the Bible says but, or therefore, or above all, you better listen. He says, above all, let love. Here's my coat. My Columbia soccer coat. And this is the warmest coat I've ever put on in my life. This is my above all. I can go snow skiing, I can shovel the snow, even though I shouldn't have to because I have teenagers, but I do it anyway because it's done right and it's done faster. Anyway, so, anyway, It doesn't matter what's underneath. I don't need anything underneath. I know that's a horrible visual. I can put a t-shirt on and then put this on and I'm good. In the Midwestern weather, I'm fine because this is my above all. See, when you put on love above everything else, what will come out of you is compassion. What will come out of you will be humility. And Paul is saying, above all else, put on love. Because when you put on love, people are going to recognize it. People are going to see it. And I know we don't like discrimination. But when you put on love, people are going to treat you differently. Not because of the color of skin, not because of the suit that you wear, not because of your background or who your daddy is or what your kids have done, not because of any of those things, because love is attractive. And people know the difference between love and fake love. Temporary love. Circumstance love. Circumstance compassion. People know the difference. The difference between sympathy and empathy. There's a big difference between those two. The biggest difference is empathy. I've been where you're at. I understand what you're going through. Not everybody can empathize. I can't empathize with someone who's lost their parents because I haven't lost my parents. I can be sympathetic to them. I can say, I hate this for you. I don't like, but I can never say I know what you're dealing with. So instead of looking at your circumstance as a woe is me moment, and I hate that it's happened to you, but maybe God has given you that moment so that your love is going to look a little different with someone. So your coat is going to look a little different because your love is going to look a little different because you can now empathize with that person. I'm just extending sympathy, and we can all do that. But it's totally different. Some of you in this room, you've been hurt by a man that messed you up. Guess what? God's going to bring people in your life who have also been hurt by a man. You know what they're dealing with. You know what the struggle is. Some of you, you've lost a certain person in this room. You can empathize with someone. Your background. Listen, God can use it. God can use your story. It's not over yet. It's getting hot. I told you. Above all, let peace rule. He says, let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace. Do you know that that is your call? What does that look like to you? What does it look like to live in peace? You know what it looks like to live in peace? Sometimes you just need to shut up. Did he just tell me to shut up? I sure did. Sometimes it means you just need to listen. That's all the Bible says, be quick to listen. Slow to speak. We understand you got a solution for everything that's going on, but sometimes you just need to listen. Stop hitting your husband right now. Live in peace. Paul told the Ephesian church, now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. For Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united the Jews and the Gentiles into the people when, in his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. Christ brought peace. You and I are called to live in peace. That means that you are a peacemaker. That means that every situation that you're involved in, where you're at fault or they're at fault, it really doesn't matter. We're eliminating who's at fault, and we're leaving an open door for reconciliation to happen. And the only way that you can leave a door for reconciliation to happen is to do your part. And your part is a two-part process. The only way reconciliation happens is when two people agree that we need to reconcile. But in the meantime, I can leave the door open for reconciliation to happen. That's living in peace. And it's not fun because that person hasn't been fun to me. But I still choose what kind of clothes that I put on when I'm around that person. And I'm choosing not to put on anger. I'm not putting on rage. I'm not putting on lies. I'm not putting on gossip. I'm putting on compassion and humility and gentleness towards that person in the hopes that reconciliation will happen. That's my part. I can't make them reconcile. I can't make them love me. There's nothing I can do that will do that. It's impossible. And when I understand my identity is in Christ, then I recognize that there's nothing that I can do. Only Jesus can do that. Just like only Jesus can forgive them the way they need to be forgiven. That's the only way that I can forgive them, when I know that my identity, on my own, you don't want Jamie forgiveness, you guys. Jamie forgiveness is conditional. Say sorry, I'll forgive you. Give me 20 bucks, I'll forgive you. Buy something for me, I'll forgive you. On your own, your selfish forgiveness, that's what it is. And you and I do that. Let's not pretend that it's only Jamie. You and I do this. I'll forgive them when. I'll live in peace when. We'll reconcile when. No, that's not how it works. You leave the door open. That's what you're called to do. To live in peace means you're doing what you're responsible to do. What does that mean? That means you got to make some tough phone calls. That's some awkward conversations. And stop using, well, I'm not really a confrontational person. Oh, I love just when we have to confront a person for something that they did. That's a beautiful thing. No, no. It's not fun. We've prayed this. God, I just pray in this situation. Let the peace that passes all understanding rule in this situation. Yeah? We want peace that passes understanding. We want peace that just blows people away. But Paul told the Philippian church, here's how you have peace. Don't worry about anything. Can we stop for a second? Where are my worriers at? Come on, raise your hands. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, I see that hand. Don't. Stop it. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about a couple things. Big things. Family things. How about everything? Tell God what you need. Tell God what you need. Outside of the ladies that attended the women's conference, when was the last time you told God what you needed? When was the last time you said, God, this is what I need. Not what you want, what you need. And there's a big difference. Oh, man, I almost got myself in trouble. If what was in my mind just came out, would have been bad. Some of you want me to say, I'm not saying it. That was discernment. Where did that come from? Then you will experience God's peace. When? Did I forget something? Thank him for all that he has done. When have you thanked God for all that he's done? It doesn't say blame God. I recognize that you and I, we've gone through some real stuff, real bad stuff. God's promise was never that life was going to be full of easy, comfortable stuff. That was never the promise. See, we want the then you will moment. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that you can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your mind as you live in Christ. But first, you got to pray instead of worry. Second, you have to thank God for all that he's done. See, when I have a thankful heart, which is the third point, to be thankful. When I have a thankful heart, I can't complain. Love the way you're shouting. I haven't even said food. You're thinking about that? He says, as he adds, and always be thankful. An unthankful heart is a mark of spiritual pride. An ungrateful heart that complains will blind the work of God. When I'm unthankful, I don't see the things that God's doing around me. When I'm ungrateful, I don't fully grasp the small and detailed things that God is doing. We look for big, we look for huge, we look for God to do the awesome, the impossible, but maybe, if I'm grateful for the small things that God's doing in my life, then maybe I will see the things that are happening that are huge in my life. It's what Derek said in the video. Now all of a sudden I started seeing things differently. I started seeing my wife differently. Why? Because when you start appreciating the small things, now everything gets, wow. Have you seen the video of the guy? who had never been able to see color, and his wife gave him glasses, and he could see colors, and he put it on. He began to weep. And he was a big, burly guy. He began to weep. Why? Because he was seeing things that he had never saw before. Why? Because he had new perspective. Something changes when you start thanking God for all that he's done. And it's a reminder in your heart that you and I have so much to be thankful for. So much. Not at Thanksgiving, you guys. This is an everyday thing. Every single day, God, I thank you that I'm alive. Man, I can wake up today. I'm breathing. I got heat. I got food. I got all of these things, God. And it might seem so petty, but are you thankful today? Thankful in all circumstances. He says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. Guys, we got to look in the Bible at the everythings, the all things, the anythings. Don't worry about anything. He continues to say, listen, I care for the birds that fly. They're fed. They're well clothed. Everything's fine with them. They don't worry about a thing. Why are you worrying? Pray about everything. Watch what God does. When you become a thankful person, now all of a sudden the things that are happening to you, they may not change, but the way you see them changes. And then you start saying, God, thank you. I didn't understand why I was going through what I was going through, but now I have this opportunity to be an empathetic person towards someone and to show them that you are faithful and that you've never left us, you've never forsaken us. And now I can share that story with this person, but it only happens because I went through this. And so God, I'm thankful that I came out on the other side and I'm stronger than I've ever been. I see with new glasses than I've ever seen before. I understand I'm a grateful person. You find out what you're really grateful for when it gets ripped away. Take a moment every single day. I challenge us to this. Take a moment every single day where you just begin to thank. How different, how different. I guarantee you this. Put God to the test on this. You'll see people totally different. When you start thanking God for your job instead of complaining about it, watch how you see people totally different. I don't know if I can be compassionate. You can when you are a thankful person. You can. You can. So here's my question. This may be the oddest question I've ever asked you. What are you wearing today? Some of you in this room, you're like, you don't understand who I'm around. Listen to what I'm saying to you right now. It does not matter who is around you. Stop complaining about the people around you as if they're your problem. You want to know what your problem is, what my problem is? Look in the mirror. We're our problem. We are our problem. I can't control what you wear. I can suggest it. I can pick it out for you. I can even pay for it. You decide whether you wear it. I decide for myself every single day what type of day I'm going to have, and it starts with what I'm going to wear that day. So what are you wearing today? Well, so-and-so did this, so I'm wearing rage. Nope, that's not what I asked. That's not what I asked. I didn't ask what happened to you. I'm asking you to decide today how you will be a responder of what's happening to you. So I have no doubt in my mind in this room, some bad things have happened in 2017. I get it. When you focus there, easy to stay in hurt and bitterness. I'm asking you to focus somewhere else. I'm asking you to begin to thank God for what happened. And that's the First Thessalonians 5:18 mindset. God, I give you thanks in all circumstances. As a coach, you say things like, we win together and we lose together. Would we not rather win? But the reality is, you're going to lose. So he says, it is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus, to what? To be thankful in all circumstances. I'm not telling you something easy today. I'm telling you something very difficult. But I'm telling you, anybody in this room is like, I don't know what God's will is. I've just given you the secret. Paul gave you the secret. Be thankful. That's God's will. Church, would you stand with me today? We're going to just sing this song real slow, real soft. And if you're in this room today, can we take these couple minutes? Maybe you're with someone today. Maybe you have a husband, a wife, a kid, a friend. They're standing next to you. We have people that will come forward. Maybe take this 1 to 2 minutes and just tell them, hey, you know, I need prayer for this. To me, this is an opportunity where you and I struggle with asking for prayer, right? We struggle with that. Nobody's exempt. We struggle with looking at a person and saying, I need you. You know why that is? Because every single one in this room is fighting a battle, and the battle is pride, and the battle is that you can do this on your own. But what happens when you can't? When you need someone? So I'm challenging you as a grateful family to be okay with not being okay. With being okay with being in a struggle, a time of confusion, a time of doubt. Be okay with looking at the person next to you and going, man, can you just pray for me real quick? Real simple. Okay? Is it awkward? Sure. For some of you, really awkward. Me, I don't care. I don't know why. It's okay though. It's a safe place. So I want us to sing. I want our prayer partners to come, and they're available for you. Men and women who haven't figured it all out, just men and women who are willing to pray with you as a family, as a couple, as an individual. I do ask guys, you pray with guys, girls, you pray with girls. Appreciate that. Let's pray. God, I thank you for the men and women in this room. God, who are on a journey, and it's a beautiful journey, God. We are people in the middle of a process of becoming like Christ. God, we haven't figured it all out, but we're here with a desire. God, life has thrown us some curveballs, and life has thrown us a little thing that we didn't plan on, but God, we know you are there. We know that we can trust you. So God, I pray that you give us strength in trusting you. God, I pray that you give us strength to lean on you and not our own understanding. God, for us to recognize that it's you that saves, that it's you that gives us strength. God, we want to be men and women who are obedient, who are thankful. And God, I pray right now for someone in the middle of a situation that as they begin to thank God in advance and watch how you change the circumstance based on how we respond with our words in thankfulness or complaining, Guys, that's for someone today. You're in the middle of it and you don't feel like giving God thanks. God says the only way you will get out of that circumstance is you will thank or praise your way out of it. That you will praise your way out of it. And as you begin to thank and as you begin to praise, you watch how it changes. Watch how you see that circumstance change. Because you're choosing to be grateful in the middle of the situation. In Jesus' name, amen.